Good morning, church.
Actually, I can do this thanks to this wonderful screen from Mr. Northrup who provided for us. It's great to have you, to be back in this sanctuary today as we worship God and get to celebrate our return to worship here. And what a wonderful blessing it is to be in our sanctuary once again. A few announcements before we get started. I just want to give you a heads up. We had a small, minor medical emergency in our family this morning. Emily was suffering from a cyst that got really bad this morning. So we had to take her up to Union this morning, but she's doing okay. She's feeling better. She's home yesterday. So thank you, Carolyn, for stepping up and doing the camera. Thank you for the continued prayers for her. She definitely appreciates it. We were up early this morning. So you know those miracle worker doctor and nurses who can function on 2 hours sleep and you can't even tell? I'm not that person, folks. So we're going to be in for a joyful ride together. We'll see where we go. Maybe I'll end up in Greek, maybe a little Latin in here. We'll see what happens. But we still, nonetheless, we have the opportunity to worship and praise God. A few announcements before we get started. Don't forget this coming Wednesday, Food on the Fly, right around the corner, 4:30 to 6. Our sales continue to remain strong, so if you can continue to support that, that would be awesome, and the trustees will follow at 6:30. And then also, next Sunday, remember we're on our every other week schedule for Sunday school. Next Sunday, we'll have our Zoom Sunday school at 8:30. You can log on right there. We had a great first time. Carolyn provided a lot of good videos for us, and it really is a great opportunity for the whole family to experience Sunday school together, and I'm really enjoying that, getting to see what the kids are learning about and what they're thinking about. But don't forget about that. And then the week after that, we're going to have our Halloween party this year, which will be outside from 6 to 7:30. Do I have that time right? Okay. On Saturday, October 24th. And then after the event, we will head down to Shenbrun Village, where they will have a big light display that you can drive through. And it's going to be a lot of fun. The kids can wear costumes. I called it a Halloween party, but we're calling it more like a fall festival this year. Try to be laid back, but also make sure we're following our safety protocols outside. So those two things will be important, but I think we'll still have a good time nonetheless. And then please get your script cards. Those are due today. I apologize, we had a different date in the newsletter, but if you could get those into Doug as soon as possible, that would be greatly appreciated. That's all I have for announcements today. Our watchword for the week, let us stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. There's my first mistake. You may be seated. Our watchword for the week this week comes from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Amen.
first scripture today comes from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 4 through 9. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refugee for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthlessness is like a storm driving against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners. As heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, so the song of ruthless is still. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace from his people. From all of the earth, the Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The second scripture comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whoever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Thank you, Atisha. So for our liturgy of reflection today, we have a very interesting text, Rejoice in the Lord Always, which I found very funny because I was reading, or Emily asked me at 6:30 this morning when we were in the emergency room today, what are you preaching on today? Rejoice in the Lord always, sweetie, as we stood there. And it's one of those God winks where God has a sense of humor. But I think even in the midst of difficult circumstances, I think we need that verse more than ever. So today I'm going to ask you to think about what it means to rejoice. So your first question for your liturgy of reflection boards is give me three things that you are thankful for in your life today. Three things that you can rejoice about. What are three things you can rejoice about? Few more moments. All right, let's see. What do you got to be joyful about? Family, friends, family band, family health, friendship, family home, church, family health, life, family love, school, family love. friends, family. I see a lot of good stuff. Being in the sanctuary today, Mitch and Sharon got some good ones as well. I can't see it all through my television screen, but it looks good from here. Mine were just being in worship today. I wasn't sure if that was going to be a possibility as this morning was going. I made sure to switch them. I did have Emily as okay as number two, but then I realized that was a rookie mistake for a husband to make, so that is definitely number one slash A. And then number three, the Packers have a bye week, so I can take a nap this afternoon, so I can rejoice in the Lord in those circumstances. All right, your second question is a little bit more difficult. I want you to think about this, because there's a lot of negativity in our world. It's easy to go on social media, all the other places. You can hear people talking in the grocery store, and they can be very negative about what's going on in our world. So my question for you as a disciple of Jesus Christ is, what do you do to stay positive when you are surrounded by negativity in this world? What are some things you do for yourself and for the people around you to stay positive? Take a little bit more. Let's see what you got. What do you do to stay positive? Pray. There's a good one. Be thankful. Pray. Matthew 4, don't worry about anything. Work, friends, sleep. Count on them. Pray for others. Watch old movies. Sorry, McKenna, I didn't read it all the way. Think happy thoughts. Leave everything up to God. Absolutely. Trust your friends. Look for other opportunities. Praise the Lord. Three things I recommend are a gratitude journal. Take a moment every day and do what we just did. List three things every day that you are grateful for. And it's amazing how once you start looking for things to be grateful for, that list grows each week. Prayers of joy, uplift them. And especially when we have so many concerns right now. If you hear good news, be sure to celebrate it. I think of the Harry Potter quote when Ginny and Harry were talking to each other, and I think I can't remember if it was Harry or Ginny who was complaining about why they were going to a wedding in such terrible times, and the other one turned to Harry and said, it's because of times like these that we need weddings, we need celebrations, we need wonderful things. And then if somebody around you in a conversation you find to be constantly negative or constantly putting people down, sometimes the best way to fight that is to give them a compliment, actually, and try to see if there's a way you can wade through that negativity and try to get a little positivity going for them. And sometimes that can be difficult. They're not always going to take the bait, so to speak, but if you can hopefully interject a little positivity, that will help. So that's our liturgy of reflection for today. Thank you for reflecting. And I really hope that you learn from that Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And it is not dependent on our circumstances. It's not dependent on how our day goes, but it is an opportunity to do in all times, in all places. And we uplift that certainly today as well. Now we will turn to a time of prayer and a time of reflection. So in our prayer concerns this week, once again, we remind you, we'll do it very similar, exactly the same actually as when we were downstairs. So I will share the prayers with you that I can publicly share, and those that are more confidential or family related, we'll have those on the slides, and people online, we'll have you looking in a different direction, but those prayers will be available on your prayer chain. So keep an eye on that. So in our prayers this week, we give prayers of joy for the birth of Luna, who would be the great-grandchild of Steve and Jackie Pasquinelli, who are actually out in Wyoming as we speak. I got to see a beautiful picture of Luna yesterday, but she is doing well, very strong. And Steve and Jackie, just want to say thanks for all the travel wishes and the blessing of a new great-grandchild. We also continue to pray for all those impacted by COVID right now, all those across our nation and our world who are struggling with that challenge. We continue to pray for our doctors and our nurses. They've been dealing with this for a long time, and this issue has not gone away. It was very popular to support them in the first few months, but all of our health people, make sure you're continuing to rejoice in what they're willing to sacrifice and what they're willing to do for us. And then another prayer concern to share today is we uplift in prayer three people who were killed in a car accident on 250 yesterday. Two of them were students at Claymont. We continue to uplift that family in this heartbreaking news and just continue to be a prayerful family, community family of support for all those who were harmed by this and who are grieving such a difficult loss at this time. Let us take some time in silence and reflect on some of the other prayer concerns that we have this week.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate?
anybody else have any other prayer concerns to share on their whiteboard? We'll absolutely pray for a player who was injured in the Indian Valley football game last night. Does anybody else have any other prayer concerns? All right, let's take some time in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we uplift the words of Scripture that we heard today to rejoice in you. To rejoice in you, to make sure it's not dependent on our circumstances, our bank account, how we are feeling that day, but to rejoice in you in all times and all places. That is what we are called to do, and we are so grateful for that. Gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love and friendship. Those who are seeking you, please, God, help them to know that you are seeking them as well, for you are an active and present God working in our life and in our world. And for all those in our world facing COVID-19, natural disasters, and other difficult circumstances, help them to remember it's already in your hands before the words are on our lips. And we have so many people in our congregation who are praying for a loved one this week who is going through a certain affliction. Gracious God, remind them that your personal healing touch will be present in your life, in their lives, and we are so grateful. So help us to remember to not be anxious, to trust in all circumstances, and to hope. Because with faith, hope, and a love abiding in our hearts, we can truly feel the presence of God and live out that joy that we are called to breathe into this world every single day. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. For our offering, just a reminder, not passing an offering plate just because we're back in the sanctuary, but there is an offering plate in the back if you would like to make an offering physically here. Also, we still have our online giving going, and we just want to continue to thank so many people who've continued to support the church in these difficult times. And we are blessed with a congregation that gives spiritually, faithfully, and emotionally. So let us give now of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts.
Let us pray. Loving Savior, help us to rejoice daily in the sea of gifts we are given. May we recognize our own plethora of gifts and use it to give God and others generously. Amen.
So for our children's chat today, I thought it'd be real good to talk with the kids about waiting hard and working hard for something, and what we're willing to work hard for says a lot about who we are as people and our character as children of God. So my first question, kids, I want you to pull out your whiteboard, as I want you to answer this question for me. What is something that you would be willing to work hard at to be good at? What is something you would be willing to work hard to be good at? Is it school? Is it a sport? Is it a video game? Is it being a good son or daughter to your mom or dad? Staying out of trouble. Okay. We got one from Paige. Hold on. We'll give everybody else a second. What's something you would work hard at to be good at? All right. Paige has got math. Tyler, you've got guitar. Joyce, can I see that? Say it out loud. I can't hear it.
Soccer.
So, that's great. Awesome. Anybody else have any? Okay. Nick, what was yours? Or are you still working on yours? Sports? Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. I would work hard at sports. So now, I want you to take a guess. I'm going to ask you on this next one to take a guess at a number. So there is a number that is very scientifically proven that you have to put in this many hours of work to become an expert at any given thing you do, whether you're an athlete, whether you're a musician, whether you're a doctor. And I want you to guess how many hours you think somebody has to put in before they're considered an expert at something. I'll give you a hint. It's way more than 10. A lifetime? That's actually a good guess. Tyler got that right on the square. 10,000 hours. How did you know that? You just guessed? Give him a round of applause for that. 7's a good guess. There you go. 10,000 hours. That's actually, that is, wow, that's impressive, Tyler. That is scientifically proven how long it takes to become an expert at something. So think about that. Every time you go to shoot a free throw and practice basketball and you get frustrated that it doesn't land, or you practice soccer, or you start a new musical instrument, I want you to remember you have to be patient as a disciple of Christ to learn and be good at something. Because guess what? Every Grammy Award-winning musician, you know how they started? With sheet music, learning how to play Ode to Joy, just like the rest of us. Even LeBron James had to learn to shoot a free throw at some point. He may have been 6 months old when he did it, but he still had to learn how to shoot that free throw. But all of us, we can work hard at doing... Oh, sorry, Brandon, did I miss yours? You had a good guess. You had 1,000. That was a very good guess. But we have to remind ourselves, as kids, as young adults, as Brandon, who's going to be an excellent athlete someday, because I know how athletic he is, we have to be willing to put in the time, the energy, and the prayer. Because God gives us the opportunity, and we have to really be willing to work for it, to be patient, to trust that God has our best interest at heart, and know that God will take care of it. So I want you kids to remember that. When you struggle with something or you're frustrated with something in school, it just takes time and practice to get better for all of us. And none of us are different from that. So let's take a moment in prayer as we remember all the wonderful things God does for us. Gracious God, we come before you today, and I just want to say thank you for these kids. Continue to remind them that all of us can grow and become experts at many different things and many different tasks, and we just have to be willing to put in the time, because we know you, God, spend more time with us than anyone. You know what we are gifted at, you know what we love, and you will equip us to do those things. So remind us that every time we share our gifts, whether it be in school, whether it be on the sports field, whether it be musically, that we are giving those gifts to God. and we are so blessed and so uplifted. In your name we pray. Amen. So let's turn our attention to our message today. See, last week our message was centered on distraction. And it seems only fitting that the prophet Isaiah this week, after we talked about how difficult and how easy it is to be distracted, he's talking about patience, how important it is to be patient. Isaiah paints a beautiful picture in his biblical story, of a faithful people who have endured so much in their lives. But now they get rewarded for their faithfulness. They have received marvelous gifts from God. They've received food that is delicious, wine that is sweet and overflowing, and a view upon a mountaintop that would take your breath away with how wonderful and how majestic it is. This is truly the best day of their lives. Isaiah 25:9 said, "It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. However, there is a reason today that Isaiah is sharing a prophecy that is to come and not a truth that is currently being lived by his people. Because guess what? Human beings are naturally impatient people. I got this lesson at the waiting room as I continued to wait for results and different things and foot taps and trying to get answers. Because patience as human beings is as natural to us as a polar bear roaming the desert. It just doesn't come easy to us. Our patience for God to do wonderful things in our life is about the equivalent of a 5-year-old trying to sit through a 3-hour Beethoven concert. We just don't have the skill set to do it sometimes. And I'm sure some of you've had a 4 or 5-year-old at a mass band concert or something, and you've done everything in your power to try to keep that child, and it didn't work. Because we, as children of God, are the same way with God. We find waiting for God to be absolutely unbearable, no matter what techniques we try, no matter what skills we have. And in fact, you can see this in Scripture. Biblically, the most common complaints for God are, when are you going to show up, or why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long for you to give us what we want, God? The oldest book of the New Testament is 1 Thessalonians. And that, scholars actually estimated, was written around the year 51 CE by the Apostle Paul. And Paul actually had to write the first book of the New Testament because of the simple fact of, guess what? People were complaining that the return of Christ was taking too long. That's what the first book of the New Testament is about, people complaining. In fact, people were so anxious for Christ to come, they had quit their jobs, and they were standing around literally waiting for Jesus to come back at that very moment. And it was Paul who had to gently remind them that this will happen in God's time and not our time, not our own. So we have to get back to work. We have to survive the day-to-day because we do not get to decide the timing of it all. God does. And remember, this happened 20 years after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And here we are 2,000 years later, still as impatient as ever. Brothers and sisters, we don't like to wait on God. But we should remember every single day, as Isaiah reminds us, that we have a God worth waiting for. We have a God worth waiting for. And I want you to think about the people in the Bible who had to wait on God. So many. But I want you to think about how Abraham and Sarah felt, how Elizabeth and Zechariah felt when both of those couples held their newborn son for the first time. And all of them waited decades for that child to come into their life. Decades. What a wonderful miracle it would have been to hold that baby for the first time. And think about Simeon, who waited his entire lifetime just to get a glimpse of Jesus. And what a relief it must have been for him, knowing that the world he was leaving was going to be a far better place than the one he entered. He had a God worth waiting for, and so do we. And I want you to think about that when you get frustrated with those unanswered prayers this week, especially as we've been praying for a cure for COVID for up to 6 months now. And I want you to think about your own personal experiences with prayers and waiting for God. Because I bet that almost every person in this room did not marry the first person you had a crush on and asked God to help you with so that you could be with that person. I know I'm not married to the pink Power Ranger that I promised myself to at 8 years old. And praise God for that today. Or how about the fact, I'm sure every one of us has been turned down for a job promotion or a job that we thought was the perfect fit for us, and somebody else ended up getting it, and we were frustrated and upset with that. But I bet God provided down the road for you a job maybe you didn't even see opening, maybe a better job that came to you. God is worth waiting for. And maybe some of us have gotten that difficult medical diagnosis, that test that came back very negatively. And I bet, though, God worked through that. Because throughout that experience, maybe you started to value your precious time on this earth more. You started to not take so much time for granted. Garth Brooks said it best sometimes. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Some of God's greatest gifts are truly unanswered prayers. And that is why in the dark and difficult days ahead of us, as we look forward to this difficult winter of 2020, we need to cling to Paul's words from Philippians. Philippians 4:8 said, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." If there's anything worthy of praise in your life, please think about that and uplift it to God. Because yes, he loves to hear your concerns, but he also loves to hear your joys as well, what you're celebrating. And guess what? If you're having a bad day where you're exhausted and things aren't going your way and every task feels like it takes a maximum amount of energy when your tank is on fumes, remember those words from Paul. To rejoice in God always, to think of something worthy of praise. Because take a deep breath and find something worthy of praise in your life in this moment to be thankful for. Because I guarantee all of us have something to be thankful for, even if it's just the very breath that we are praying with in that moment. But that is precious. And Max Lucado, one of my favorite writers and who did our Lenten series, he said Philippians 4:6-7, "Do not be anxious about anything. It's the most highlighted passage of the Bible in the 21st century, even surpassing John 3:16 and the 23rd Psalm." It's the reason for that is because we live in an anxious age. We are more worried, we are more lonely, we are more depressed, and ironically, with technology, we are more isolated than any generation before us. And it's Paul who reminds us that the best antidote for all our worries and fears is gratitude, to be grateful for what God has given us. Grateful living is one of the most empowering spiritual practices we can implement. And that's why I encourage you, if you haven't ever tried a gratitude journal or something like that, just taking, even if it's in prayer time, if you don't like to write, just think of three things every day that you are grateful to God for. Because guess what? None of us, no matter how hard we try, are capable of changing on our own the toxic political environment we live in. The behavior of other people that upsets us and angers us, and the outside stressors in our lives that attack us. But what we can do is change how we respond to those difficult situations. That is what we control. And gratitude does not cure all the bad things that happen to us like the boogeyman. It just happens to make the things we do, the things we suffer through, a little bit more manageable, a little bit more easier to grasp, especially when we're willing to trust God with those concerns as well. And gratitude will allow us to develop some of that much needed patience we need in our walk with God and with each other. For if we are patient people, if we are true believers of Jesus, guess what, brothers and sisters? The question is never if God will deliver for us. The question is simply when. When is God going to deliver for us? And the awesome thing is, if it's not this moment, if it's not this past couple days, if it's not this upcoming week, it gives us something to hope about. Because we know that our God delivers. Because the God that delivered for Abraham, the God that delivered for Isaac, the God that delivered for Moses, the God that delivered for Christ on the cross, is the same God that will deliver for each and every one of us. We have such a big track record of a God who does wonderful things. And that is what allows us to live our lives a little more relaxed, a little more joyful. Because we as disciples of Christ know that the best is yet to come. We know that mountaintop that Isaiah prophesied about awaits us. We know that there will be a land that is full of milk and honey, where the wine is ever so sweet and the view is spectacular. Because we, my friends, have a God that delivers time and time again. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say, remind us to be patient, to trust in you, and to know that in all circumstances we can truly rejoice. Because even in the midst of the rain, even in the midst of the storm, we can be thankful for the sunshine that awaits us on the horizon, the rain that cleanses the spirit and the soul, and just continue to remind us. Because the circumstances that hurt us in this world will not change. There will always be negativity. There will always be toxic people. But help us to remember that we can change our response by being grateful and patient. We can allow ourselves to live truly rejoiceful lives, as you call us to do. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We now turn to our hymn. I picked this one out especially when we lift our pack and go. It is not one of the most popular ones out of the hymnal, but I thought it was really fitting this week because I want you to think about the miles we've traveled spiritually since the last time we've worshiped here. All the different things that have happened in our lives and our world. And unlike most Moravians who, when they've experienced hardship, they've had to go on a ship and go 1,000 miles across the ocean to someplace else where it was safe for them to worship. But we get to come home. We get to come back to our sanctuary. So we can truly be grateful that when we had to lift our pack and go, we were brought right back to the place that was so familiar and so wonderful for many of us. God is in another place. God is in another space. What a beautiful mantra for us to be reminded of this week. We'll hear the Lord's words of benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So for those of you online, this concludes our service. For those of you who are with us in the sanctuary, just a reminder, just because we're in the sanctuary, we're still going to do dismissal similar to how we did it in Fellowship Hall to make sure we're not congesting up the traffic too much. So I'm going to dismiss from the back going up. So Belknaps, you are free to go. Swallows, go ahead. Tim and Linda, go ahead. McKenna and Becky, go ahead. Katie and Allie, go ahead. Randy, go ahead. Madison, Deline, and Floyd, go ahead. Missy and Paige, go ahead. Doug and Jim, go ahead. Brandon and Cheryl. Or I guess you got some waiting to do yet. Carolyn and Charlotte, Nick, go ahead too. Last but not least, Gronk and his compadre.